Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
U.S. equities hit reset after a wild day on Wall Street.
Stocks in Hong Kong fall the most in 9 months on plans to raise trading taxes.
Regulators order high-tech inspections of Boeing engines.
And more encouraging news on the pandemic as COVID deaths tick lower.
Hundreds of protesters walked the streets of Rochester last night. And more mass vaccination sites are opening in New York today. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The latest on Tiger Woods' injuries from his car crash. The Nets won. The Knicks, Devils, and St. John's lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are struggling for direction this morning. They were earlier, and now they're moving higher. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 5 points now. Dow futures up 18. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds, yield 1.36%, and the yield on the two-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6%, or 34 cents at $62.01 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $18.05.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2159 against the dollar. The yen 105.80. And Lowe's reporting profit in the quarter that beat analyst estimates. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We're coming off a wild day for markets that saw the S&P 500 swing about 90 points. Inflation concerns are being weighed against strong support from the Federal Reserve. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John?
Nathan, the volatile session started with optimism for an economic recovery. That triggered expectations for higher inflation, sending bond yields higher and equities lower. The S&P 500 plunged at the open, only to rebound as Fed Chair Jay Powell signaled he's nowhere close to pulling back on stimulus.
There's a long way to go, and monetary policy is accommodative, and it needs to continue to be accommodative.
The chairman also gave no indication the Fed is considering a change to policy.
Expect us to move carefully and patiently and with a lot of advance warning.
He also played down concerns of an inflationary outbreak from a big stimulus package or any pent-up demand. After falling as much as 1.8%, the S&P 500 finished the day up 5 points. The NASDAQ was down almost 4% at one point. It finished the session just 0.5% lower. Powell testifies again today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Yesterday's testimony from Powell came before the Senate Banking Committee. We caught up with the chair of that committee, Sherrod Brown, right after the hearing. He says Powell made a strong case for a big stimulus package.
It's clear, though, that he thinks we need to go big, as President Biden does, as his predecessor, or one of his immediate predecessor, Janet Yellen, who's now the Treasury Secretary, said if we don't go big, if we fall short on this Recovery Act, this Repair Act, if we fall short, there will be a scarring, she said, a long-term generational scarring of the economy.
Sherrod Brown spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
As tech stocks plunged yesterday, Buy the Dip started trending on Twitter. Kathy Wood is one of the investors who did just that. The head of ARK Investment Management tells Bloomberg Businessweek she bought Tesla shares and Bitcoin.
We're very positive on Bitcoin. I'm very happy to see a healthy correction here. No market is straight up. Everyone should know that. Everyone should have some dry powder for days like these. And I've been saying that for a while.
And checking Bitcoin now, it's at $50,437.
Meantime, in Asia, there was a heavy sell-off overnight. Stocks in Hong Kong tumbled after the city announced plans to hike the tax rate on stock trading. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The planned increase was part of a raft of new measures unveiled in Hong Kong's budget and saw shares in Hong Kong exchanges plunge the most since the stock bubble burst back in 2015. Chinese investors sold a record $2.6 billion worth of Hong Kong stocks, poised for a record. The Hang Seng Index posting its biggest one-day decline since May. China's CSI 300 down 2.5%. In Tokyo, the Nikkei down more than 1.5% after resuming trade following Tuesday's holiday. In Singapore, Juliet Sahli, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Now to some positive news on the pandemic. The decline in COVID deaths is exceeding forecasts. The University of Massachusetts Reich Lab sharply cut projections for the next 3 weeks, thanks to more mask wearing and immunity from past infections. The CDC estimates a quarter of the U.S. population has had the virus as of mid-January. The vaccination rollout is also picking up. Dr. Cameron Webb is a senior advisor at the White House COVID-19 response team.
We're seeing a ramp up in doses every single week since we came into the White House 34 days ago. We're up by over 57%.
More than 13% of the population has now received at least one shot. You can follow the progress on our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Meantime, in Europe, AstraZeneca is said to have told the EU it will deliver less than half of the vaccine it committed to supply in the second quarter. Bloomberg sources confirm a report that Astra now plans to provide less than 90 million doses, down from an expected 180 million.
Back here in the U.S., Boeing is coming under increased scrutiny. Regulators are ordering high-tech inspections of the engines used on Boeing 777s. We get more from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
These are stringent new inspection requirements to ensure the Pratt & Whitney engines are safe. This after one broke apart over a Denver suburb on Saturday. The FAA says those jets need to be put out of service until they get these new inspections. It appears there are 69 of these in service around the globe, now grounded. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Ed, thank you. Let's get you caught up on some earnings from after the bell. Shares of Square down more than 4%. The financial payments company reported revenue that missed estimates and also increased its commitment to Bitcoin by purchasing $170 million of the cryptocurrency.
Shares of Toll Brothers rose 1% in late trading. The company reported better than expected growth as wealthy homebuyers upgraded to bigger properties in the suburbs. Purchase contracts jumped 59% from a year earlier.
GameStop said Chief Financial Officer Jim Bell is resigning next month after less than 2 years on the job. He won't be leaving empty-handed. The executive will get almost $16 million when he departs, and he could earn millions more in coming years if a turnaround of the video game retailer is successful.
And another story we're following this morning, the latest on the health of Tiger Woods. We're told the golf star is awake and recovering after suffering severe injuries from a car crash yesterday. Stay tuned for more on that coming up shortly in sports. S&P futures higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 22 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Hundreds of protesters walked the streets of Rochester, New York last night after a grand jury did not hand down an indictment against police officers in the death of Daniel Prude. Daniel's brother, Joe, is heartbroken over the grand jury verdict, according to his attorney, Don Thompson.
I think he's kind of speechless at the moment. I have talked to him, obviously. It's a disappointing, devastating result, and he's just going to need time to digest it.
The 41-year-old man died last March, several days after police officers put a hood over his head and then pressed his body onto the pavement until he stopped breathing. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has unveiled the state's budget with a focus on schools and small business relief. Murphy says the spending plan includes the highest level of school funding ever and $200 million for struggling businesses.
It is the time for us to also lean into the economic policies that will not just get us through the remaining months of the pandemic, but which will supercharge our reemergence from it.
The budget also includes the largest infrastructure investment in state history. New Jersey's attorney general ordering an immediate end to marijuana arrests and pending prosecutions. While the majority of residents voted to legalize marijuana in New Jersey, some voters are worried the state has such tight control over who can and cannot sell it.
When politicians get involved, they bungle everything. It should be a free and open market, and anybody who wants to open and establish a business should be able to do it.
Weed still cannot be sold legally in New Jersey. The state still has to set up distribution, licensing, taxation, and other rules. That'll take about a year. 6 out of 10 New Yorkers say they believe Governor Andrew Cuomo did something wrong in his handling of COVID-19 and the state's nursing homes. The poll by Marist College Institute for Public Opinion found Cuomo's job approval rating had slipped below 50%. New York is opening two more COVID vaccination sites in New York City. Starting today, the sites at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn and York College in Queens will be able to vaccinate up to 3,000 people a day. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshire.
Thanks, Nathan. The latest word on Tiger Woods is that he is awake, responsive, and recovering. And it figures to be a lengthy recovery from a compound fracture in his leg, a shattered ankle. The one-car accident occurred yesterday morning just south of Los Angeles. His SUV ended up several hundred feet from the road. Deputy Carlos Gonzalez, first on the scene.
I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment I immediately recognized him. I asked him if he knew where he was, what time of day, just to make sure he was oriented. He seemed as though he was lucid and calm.
Woods was in L.A. for the Genesis tournament that he hosts. He didn't play due to his recent back surgery. He was said to be on his way to an early morning photo shoot that included Drew Brees. Police say crashes on that road are not uncommon, that there was no evidence of alcohol use. They said Woods was wearing a seatbelt and that likely saved his life. Fans were back. First time in nearly a year at the Garden. About 2,000 on hand to see Steph Curry drain 7 3-pointers, scored 37 points. Golden State beat the Knicks 114-106. So the Warriors are now 17-15, and the Knicks are 15-17. Julius Randle led them with 25. He was named as an All-Star for the first time in his career. The Nets, for the first time ever, will have three All-Stars: Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. They also had about 300 fans at the Barclays Center to see Brooklyn stretch its winning streak to 7, 127-118 over Sacramento. Harden, again, filled up the stat sheet. 29 points, 14 assists, 11 rebounds, and that's also got a career-high 29 from Bruce Brown. Third straight loss for the Devils, shut out till the final minute, lost to Buffalo 4-1. St. John's trying to upset Villanova for the second time. This one was all Nova, 81-58. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, after losing a deal to buy the Mets, Alex Rodriguez has another game he wants to win. The former Yankees joined the lengthy roster of big names, signing on to Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, or SPACs. A-Rod's Slam Corp began trading yesterday, adding to the surge in blank check deals that spurred some investors to point to the asset class as the latest example of market froth. Futures moving higher on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise. Treasuries are dropping as investors take confidence from the Federal Reserve's vow to support economic growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 4 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.36%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 37 cents at $62.03 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $18.06.10 an ounce. The euro 1.2160 against the dollar. British pound 1.4144. The yen 105.84. Bitcoins at $50,364. We did have this headline: crossing the Bloomberg with Icon to buy PRA Health in a cash and stock deal valued at $12 billion. And Lowe's, the home improvement retailer, reported stronger than expected fourth quarter revenue, another sign that U.S. consumers are still highly motivated to upgrade their homes. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, just getting word this morning, a federal judge late last night placed an indefinite ban on President Biden's 100-day pause on most deportations. Texas sought that preliminary injunction, arguing that the moratorium violated federal law and imposed additional costs on the state. President Biden, meanwhile, inviting lawmakers to the White House to discuss a global shortage of semiconductors that's idled some U.S. auto production. He'll also sign an executive order aimed at strengthening supply chains for microchips. Before fans, for the first time this year, the Knicks fall to Golden State while the Nets beat Sacramento. The Wizards and Celtics lose, and on the ice, the Devils and Caps lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to turn now to the pandemic as daily case counts and deaths continue to decline, so much so that experts are revising their forecasts. Joining us is Dr. Andy Pekosh, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. It's great, as always, to have you with us, professor. Can we tie this drop in daily infections and deaths that we've seen over the last couple of weeks to the vaccination effort? Is it safe to connect that dot?
It's probably too early to have seen such a broad effect of vaccination on total case numbers. Vaccination is probably helping us drive down the hospitalization rate and the mortality rate from infection, but we just haven't vaccinated enough people to see that effect across the entire population. You know, it probably has more to do with, you know, we're past the stage where the effects of holiday travel should be seen. And with most seasonal viruses, you tend to see a waning around this time in terms of total numbers of cases as the viruses sort of move through the population.
So as we get into the warmer months, then, is it safe to assume that this is a trajectory that is going to last?
I think the warm weather will help us in terms of controlling case numbers. I think that combined with where we expect to be in terms of vaccination come the spring and the early summer is all going to help us reduce the case numbers. I want to be clear, we are seeing massive reductions in case numbers, which is great, but we were at a number of cases that was way too high during the peak months of December and January. So we really need to get this number down even lower than it is right now to get to a manageable stage again.
Well, where would you say we are on the vaccination effort right now? I just took a look at the rolling 7-day average for daily vaccinations, and it's starting to decline a bit. Can you attribute that to the bad weather we saw last week, or is there something else at play here?
Yeah, absolutely. I always look at these things in terms of speed bumps and roadblocks. And, you know, the weather that we had across the country was a pretty major speed bump. But it seems like all the vaccine that was in the process of being shipped has all been stored safely and things are starting to move. I know myself, my laboratory has been delayed in terms of a number of shipments because of this, because of the weather. So I think things are coming back in. And I think the manufacturers are really showing much higher numbers of potential vaccines that they're going to be making over the next couple of weeks. So this is now that transition. We're going to go from immunizing the vulnerable and those that are highly exposed to immunizing the population. And it's going to be even more important now to maintain those supply chains of vaccine.
We just had some new data come out from the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker indicating that only one state of the ones that have reported information, New Mexico, has vaccinated more than 10% of its black population, while more than half the states can say the same about their white populations. What can be done about vaccine disparity, particularly among racial groups?
You know, and then combine that with the fact that some of the minority groups as well as inner city populations have been hit the hardest in terms of severity of infections of COVID-19 makes this issue of equitable vaccine distribution an incredibly important one. We have to find ways to reach out and go to the communities that are hardest hit by this. There's tends to be more vaccine hesitancy in inner city communities and in minority communities. We have to deal with that in terms of our communication efforts. And we have to make it easier for individuals in those areas to get to vaccines and to get into the vaccination program. It's a challenge, but it's something that has to be a high priority.
In our last minute here, Doctor, how are we doing tracking the new variants? How is our surveillance effort going?
So about a month ago, I would say that we were really behind. There's been a massive increase in terms of the number of viruses that are being sequenced now. So we're getting a much better picture of what's going on. Some of the initiatives that are coming from the federal government are going to help improve that. So I think we have a ways to go before we get to a good place, but we certainly have improved tremendously over the past month or so in terms of our understanding of what's been circulating.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you, as always, for being with us. Professor Andy Pekosh teaches molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP. That is the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. So far, about 65 million doses have been administered in this country. That's about 13% of vaccine doses. You can follow the effort through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It is online at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 26. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 12. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. The yield 1.36%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover. Above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning as we await day two of Jay Powell's congressional testimony. We're coming off a wild day of trading that saw the S&P 500 swing about 90 points as inflation concerns are weighed against support from the Fed. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John.
Karen, at one point in Tuesday's session, the S&P 500 fell 1.8%. The NASDAQ plunged almost 4% as rising bond yields stoked inflation concerns. The volatile session saw stocks roar back from those losses following reassuring comments from Fed Chair Jay Powell. He called the recent run-up in yields, quote, a statement of confidence in the economy. Powell says the central bank is nowhere close to pulling back on stimulus measures. The S&P 500 did end the session up about 5 points. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Powell appeared before the Senate Banking Committee yesterday. We caught up with the chair of that committee, Sherrod Brown, right after the hearing.
We're not at the place yet where this economy is going to take off. We've been losing jobs in the last couple of months. The GDP might be going up because that's, again, the wealthiest are doing better and better and better. But most people in this country still need help, and we've got to move to do that. I think Chair Powell's testimony today really underscored that.
Sherrod Brown spoke yesterday with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. You can catch the show weekdays at noon Eastern Time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Meantime in Asia, there was a heavy sell-off overnight. Stocks in Hong Kong fell the most in 9 months on plans to raise trading taxes. And we get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Raising the tax at this time with the economy struggling, well, it really did catch markets off guard. It rattled investors and led to a massive sell-off in local shares. The planned tax increase is from 0.10% to 0.13%. The bourse operator, Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing, had its biggest slump since 2015. The tax increase came as the government announced stimulus of more than $15.5 billion. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Brian. Back here in the U.S., there is more fallout from that engine failure on a United Airlines Boeing jet. The FAA has ordered high-tech inspections of Pratt & Whitney engines used on Boeing 777s. A fan blade in the United Jet's engine snapped, tore off another blade, and then the front structure of the engine.
Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 19. NASDAQ futures up about 4. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.7%. And straight ahead, we have the latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's now 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Amy Morris.
Good morning, Nathan Hager. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill heard from police officials responsible for U.S. Capitol security during the January 6th attack in the first of a series of hearings to figure out what went wrong that day. Former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund told lawmakers the department had bad intelligence and that it's not prepared for an attack involving hundreds of people at once.
No civilian law enforcement agency, to include the United States Capitol Police, is trained or equipped to repel an insurrection of thousands of individuals focused on breaching a building at all costs.
And retired New York police officer Thomas Webster has turned himself in on charges that he assaulted a Washington police officer with a flagpole during that attack on Congress. Webster was once part of the security detail at City Hall and provided security for the mayor and Gracie Mansion. The seven Rochester, New York police officers who were investigated by the New York State Attorney General for their role in the death of an unarmed black man last March will not face criminal charges. Attorney General Letitia James.
We presented the strongest case possible, but the grand jury decided not to indict any police officer on charges related to Daniel Prude's death.
Police had handcuffed Prude while he was naked and held face down with a spit hood placed over his head. He had stopped breathing and was taken to a hospital. He died 7 days later. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his budget proposal will focus on schools and small businesses with investments in green jobs, emerging industries, and struggling small businesses.
This budget is built to spark New Jersey's recovery by creating more good-paying jobs and getting our economy moving again, by supporting the small businesses that were hit hardest.
The record $44.8 billion budget does not include any new taxes nor major cuts, but it does include the largest infrastructure investment in state history. A Times Square retail property owned by Kushner Company, the family company of former presidential advisor Jared Kushner, is a step closer to foreclosure. Wells Fargo, the trustee on the debt, says legal counsel has been engaged and foreclosure actions have been filed. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashire is here, the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, police say Tiger Woods was wearing a seatbelt yesterday and that likely saved his life. He has serious injuries to both legs, but was said to have come out of surgery awake, responsive, and recovering despite being unable to play golf due to his recent back surgery. Woods was in Los Angeles as the host of the recent tournament there and had stayed for some promotional work early yesterday morning, about 30 miles south of L.A. His SUV hit the median, then the curb, then the trees. It rolled over. It settled several hundred feet from the road. Deputy Sheriff Carlos Gonzalez.
He didn't seem concerned of his injuries at the time, which is not uncommon in traffic collisions. Many times people tend to be in shock. It's a traumatic experience, so it's not uncommon for people to be focused on unimportant things, or even if they are in pain, they may not feel it until much later.
Police say no evidence of alcohol use. Woods did once have a DUI. Reserves named for the upcoming NBA All-Star Game. The Knicks' Julius Randle made it. Well deserved. He's been terrific all year. Scored 25 points last night. But Steph Curry, an All-Star himself, he had 37. Golden State with a big third quarter beat the Knicks 114-106, spoiling the return of fans at the Garden. There were some also at Barclays as the Nets won their seventh in a row, 127-118 over Sacramento, whose losing streak reached eight. Nets had a big first quarter, then a 14-1 run in the fourth to put it away. They continue to win without Kevin Durant. His replacement, Bruce Brown, shot 11 of 13, scored 29. So did James Harden. He had another triple-double. That's his sixth as a Net. Harden also named an All-Star reserve. Devils lost to Buffalo 4-1. St. John's lost at 8th-ranked Villanova 81-58. Red Stormers lost 3-4. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks Editor Dave Wilson. Good morning, Dave. What would you say, a mixed bag of earnings of late?
Yeah, it's looking that way, Nathan. I mean, let's get some of the not-so-well-received reports out of the way first. Square's down 4% in early trading. The online payment company's fourth-quarter revenue rose less than analysts expected in a Bloomberg survey, though earnings beat estimates. Now, Square said it bought $170 million of Bitcoin in the quarter, including $50 million that was disclosed back in October. So as Bitcoin moves, so does Square, at least to some extent. And Intuit's down 2%. The accounting software maker's earnings and sales barely exceeded estimates for the fiscal second quarter after coming out well ahead in the previous two quarters.
What other earnings are you looking at this morning?
Well, we've got Lowe's out already, the home improvement retailer. Really little change, even though if you looked at the numbers, they were much better than analysts expected in terms of earnings and sales for the fiscal fourth quarter. And sales at locations open more than a year climbed 28%. And yes, that beat estimates as well. Later on this morning, we'll have results out of TJX, the owner of the off-price retailers, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. So that will be worth watching. On the deal front, you have PRA Health Sciences up 19%. This company is a drug research provider and accepted a takeover offer from one of its peers, Icon. The cash and stock deal is valued at $12 billion. Now, Icon expects the deal to lift earnings as soon as it's completed. I haven't seen any trading in that stock yet. Oshkosh is up 8.5%. The truck maker is hired for a second day after winning a 10-year contract from the U.S. Postal Service. The deal covers as many as 165,000 delivery vehicles. Now, Oshkosh beat out electric truck developer Workhorse Group, which is lower. And let me tell you, when you talk about deals, you have a number of them involving blank check companies. RMG Acquisition 2 up 19%. People familiar with the matter said the company is in a near deal to combine with Renew Power, an Indian renewable energy producer backed by Goldman Sachs. You have DMY Technology Group up 28.5%. People with knowledge of the matter said that blank check company is in talks to merge with quantum computing company IonQ. And then there's Revolution Acceleration Acquisition. Try saying that three times fast. It's up 27.5%. The blank check company agreed to merge with warehouse robotics company Berkshire Gray. The combined business valued at $2.7 billion.
Wow, all that on top of the A-Rod spec we've been talking about this morning as well. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for all that. As always, taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open. Now futures are turning mixed with S&P futures little change. Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ futures turning lower now, down 23 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/30 seconds. The yield 1.36%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow, and futures seem to be erasing their gains. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures trading somewhat quiet right now. Dow futures up 12 points, S&P's higher by 1. NASDAQ futures are lower by 22. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.37%. Gold is up 4. And Shanghai dropped 2% overnight, while European markets are trading mostly higher this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, new home sales. And after the bell last night, the GameStop CEO resigned. Intuit EPS beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, Lowe's beat estimates. In deal news, Icon to buy PRA Health in a $12 billion cash and stock deal. And in other news, Bitcoin is back above the 50,000 mark, after falling as much as 18% yesterday. Wrapping things up, BigCommerce raised overweight at KeyBank and Energizer Holdings cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders says he expects the Senate parliamentarian to rule today on whether a $15 minimum wage increase can be included in the COVID-19 relief bill. Democrats are hopeful they can get Republican support for new infrastructure legislation that will likely direct billions of dollars in spending to fund research in key technologies. The chair of Texas's power grid operator and four other board members have resigned in the wake of that energy crisis crippling the state's electrical system. And in sports, before fans, for the first time this year, the Knicks fall to Golden State. The Nets beat Sacramento. The Wizards and Celtics lose, and on the ice, the Devils and Caps lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Roku is $50 billion of Amazon defiance. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Roku has so far managed to outmaneuver far larger rivals such as Amazon and avoided the dilemma that has so often greeted companies daring to challenge the U.S. tech giants, get acquired or get stomped on. Instead, Roku has more than held its own. More streaming happens on Roku devices than any other product, and 38% of smart TVs sold last year use its operating system. Roku has also managed to lay claim to an enviable portion of the advertising money being redirected from cable networks to digital video, with its free service, the Roku Channel. However, the company's continued success is predicated on an awful lot of ifs. Roku appears to be staking its growth on the highly competitive future of ad-interrupted streaming. And for that, it may have to be more aggressive, because Amazon, AT&T, Comcast, Disney, and a long list of others will all be vying more intensely for pieces of the same pie. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden set to order a review of U.S. supply chains as the global chip shortage hobbles auto plants. The House set to vote on stimulus Friday as a key Senate Republican predicts no GOP votes for the package. And President Biden bypassing tensions with Canada for a unified approach on the coronavirus, China, and climate. Also making news this morning, tens of thousands leaving the Republican Party after the Capitol riot and potentially cementing former President Donald Trump's hold on the GOP base. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. This is coming off a Bloomberg News analysis, Emily, of defections from the GOP. What are we finding?
Yeah, so it seems like, and this is analysis of about six states, that there have been 57,000 voters who have left the Republican Party. They've either become Democrats, they've been unaffiliated, or Libertarians. Some estimates put that number totally more than 100,000. And a lot of these individuals, while some of them voted for Trump, a lot of them have not. And so this is sort of an indication that the Republican Party is shifting towards sort of more towards Trump, more towards Trump supporters. I mean, these individuals say they might be able to vote for a Republican in the future, but it might lock them out of being able to vote in a primary election.
Well, what does it mean for the balance of power looking forward to the midterm elections here?
This has been such a huge question in Washington, Nathan. This is something that really everyone is watching, what direction the Republican Party chooses to go to between now, 2022, and then 2024. And what we have seen at this point is while there are some Republicans such as Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney who have really sort of stood in opposition to Trump, you are seeing sort of a wide swath of the party sort of go with Trump, think that Trump is and Trump supporters are key to making sure that they keep their power. You did hear Senator Romney, you know, even though he's opposed Trump, even though he said he won't vote for Trump should Trump run again, he thinks that if Trump runs in 2024, he would become the nominee for the Republican Party.
All right, let's turn to the White House now, and we're expecting President Biden to sign an executive order on the economy later today. What do we know about that?
So this executive order that President Biden is going to sign is focused on a shortage of products that are important both for Americans' everyday uses as well as national securities. We're talking semiconductors, we're talking rare earth minerals, we're talking things like computer chips, batteries for electric cars. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the shortage was a national security concern, and President Biden's going to be meeting with a bipartisan group of lawmakers before he winds up signing this executive order. We might not see any changes in the short term, at which point the U.S. will still be relying on allies like Taiwan to sort of help generate these semiconductors. But in the long term, the idea is that America is going to be able to produce these items themselves or be able to get these items from reliable allies.
All right, let's get an update on the push for stimulus. We heard, Amy, you mention in the news that the Senate parliamentarian could make a decision today on whether to include the minimum wage portion of the stimulus proposal.
Yes, a lot of attention is going to be paid to the Senate parliamentarian, but Democrats are already sort of going beyond that and thinking, okay, if the parliamentarian says this can be in, do we include it? Because if Democrats do include that $15 minimum wage, it could pass the House and then potentially fail in the Senate if Senator Joe Manchin, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, and other moderate Democrats don't vote for it. So there's sort of an initial hurdle today with the Senate parliamentarian, but then Democrats have to decide whether or not they're actually going to be including this. If they do and it fails, it could just mean that it's going to be that much longer until Americans get some of the relief and funding included in this bill.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always for the update. You can follow all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. There could be a new tool in the fight against the pandemic. Adaptive Biotechnologies has launched a test that uses machine learning technology from Microsoft to detect prior COVID-19 infections. The screening searches for T-cell responses against the disease rather than the immune proteins detected by conventional tests. Adaptive says its product may help people who believe they've been infected but have not tested positive with currently available analysis. China says its Tianwen-1 spacecraft has entered a temporary parking orbit around Mars. The China National Space Administration said the spacecraft will remain in the new orbit for about the next 3 months before attempting to land. During that time, it'll be mapping the surface of Mars and using its cameras and other sensors to collect further data, particularly about its prospective landing site. And President Biden has invited a bipartisan group of lawmakers to the White House today to discuss a global shortage of semiconductors that's idled some U.S. auto production. Sources say the meeting is expected to accompany Biden's signing of an executive order aimed at strengthening supply chains for microchips and other vital products. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month. Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history every day. Here with the latest installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1864, Rebecca Lee Crumpler becomes the first Black woman to receive an MD degree. To put that into perspective, in 1860, there were only 300 women out of 54,543 physicians in the United States. None of them were African American. Crumpler first worked as a nurse in Charlestown, Massachusetts, before she was accepted into the New England Female Medical College. It was during a time when male physicians claimed women did not have the physical strength to practice medicine. In 1883, Crumpler released Book of Medical Discourses, which was one of the first medical books written by an African American. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And we do have some headlines crossing the Bloomberg. Exelon to separate its utility and competitive energy businesses. And Bausch Health is in a pact with Icon, with Carl Icahn. It'll add two directors. And we'll have more on those stories throughout the morning. S&P futures, they've been trimming their gains. They're now up 3 points. Dow futures up 19. NASDAQ futures down 9. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.36%. And the yield on the two-year, 0.11%. And NYMEX crude oil is higher. It's up about 0.9% at $62.21 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.